Well, I've been down southern Missouri, so I had to slow down my talk. It'd be my pleasure if y'all turn to John 14, and I hope I get twice as long because it's going to take me a while to get it out. Are you annoyed yet? I knew you would be. What a blessing. I can say hi to the girls yet. Hi, girls. Hi. Not you. I don't care about you college kids. What in the world? Hey, when I was moving, I got a blessing for you. I found my elephant jokes. I had lost them, and you don't want to hear them? Oh, come on. Yeah? You know how to turn a cat into a dog? Okay. You guys know all my jokes. It's hopeless. I'll have to go to the Bible, I guess. All right. John 14. John 14. It is good to see everybody. It's good to be back. And, man, get to preach to the teens again. I've been waiting for 4 months. You know how much I have accumulated to say to you. What a blessing. Why are you all asleep already? What is your problem? Man, what in the world? Nah, it's good to see everybody. I hope we're all praying for a good week of preaching conference, for God to do something in our hearts, and praying specifically for God to do something in each one of us individually. John chapter, 14, we all know, my church has already learned, I have trouble getting done on time. So I've got to get right to the preaching, because otherwise I won't have enough time. John chapter 14, I want you to notice 5 verses to start with. So in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. John chapter 14, verse number 15. If ye, next word. If you love me, next word, my commandments. Look at verse number 21. He that hath my commandments and, next word, them, he it is that, next word, me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man, next word, me, he will, next word, you were there after who fast. Keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Chapter 15, verse 10. If ye, you got it now, my commandments, ye shall in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 14. Ye are my, if ye, whatsoever I command you. This morning I want to talk about this idea of the relationship of obedience. The relationship of obedience. Let's have a word of prayer, and let's ask God's blessing on the message this morning. Our God, Lord, we are excited about a week when we are looking at your word, and we are hearing preaching about it. And God, we are eager to have our hearts stirred. God, we want to walk away full of your word, but also meeting with you and having our hearts challenged. God, having things shown to us in our lives that need to be changed. And God, it is a blessing, Lord, just to be able to be here. Now, Lord, in the next few minutes as we're looking at your word, this time will be wasted if our hearts are not open and if you don't come down and meet with us. Lord, nobody wants to hear me, but we all want to hear from you. So, Lord, I pray that I would be out of the way. I pray that, Lord, your word would be clear. I pray, dear God, that you would just give me the right words, and I pray you put a hedge about our minds. Lord, there might be many things, there are many details I know going on in our minds. Lord, I pray you'd help us to put them all aside, and God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and use your word this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. 5 times within 30 verses, God mentions two ideas and he ties them together. He mentions the idea of love and he mentions the idea of obedience. If you allow me, I would say that one of the big problems in our churches today is that we have people who fall on, if I might say it, both sides of the ditch, and they think that these two ideas are exclusive. In other words, they don't go together. There are many that would tell us that they love Jesus, but their obedience has nothing to do with that. And how much they follow the Word of God and how much they obey the Word of God has nothing to do with that. I love Jesus, and that's enough. All that matters is that we all love Jesus. And these people who would holler that out, I would contend they only understand a shallow idea of love. They understand an idea of love that might come when we're singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus, my Jesus, I love thee," and we're stirred emotionally, and we love what Jesus has done for us, and we hear the promises, and we might love all of those things, but it's this warm, gushy feeling kind of love that can come up. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I love a good song. Most of you all know that. I love the song the guy sang. I enjoy thinking about what God's done for me, and I enjoy that, and I think it's okay to get stirred by music. But love goes deeper than that. On the other hand, there would be a group that would talk about obedience, and it's all about a list of rules and do's and don'ts. And it's as if obedience is all that matters. Love is not such an important thing. And then the other group is love is all that matters, and obedience is not an important thing. But when you understand and you look at the Word of God, here's what you find. They are connected. And God always intended them to be that way. And the truth is, those who obey without understanding a love for God eventually stop obeying because it's simply a duty. And those who want to claim love without obedience, I would contend they don't really understand love the way God lays it out in His Word. This is why I say there is this idea of the relationship of obedience. True obedience to God is tied in to your relationship with God. I would suggest then that there are some faulty relationships. There would be groups of people that would follow this. Whenever you want to start talking about obedience or holiness or standards or any idea of obeying the Word of God that's in any way controversial, often you get the terms legalist, Pharisee, and intolerant all thrown at you. But might I suggest that those people, again, I keep saying those people, in some ways, a lot of the people I'm talking about used to be friends of mine. They're people that grow up in Christian schools. They're people that go to Bible colleges. So you students, listen to me. I believe that the reason most of the time they would throw out legalism, it's because that's what they lived. You see, legalism would be this idea, and the legalist relationship with God would be the idea that it's only about the rules. And I would contend that that's the problem, and that's why some people graduate from Fairhaven Baptist Academy and then they go off and they do absolutely nothing for God and they leave church and they won't serve God. And the reason is you only followed the rules as long as you were here and you had to. And the minute you got a chance to get away from the rules, you throw it away because you never really loved God. And college students, that happens in college too. And you, unfortunately, I pray not. But if you're anything like those who I went to college with, there might be a few sitting in this room right now that you're not really understanding what I'm talking about. And the minute you graduate, or you may just say, I'm not coming back that crazy place again, because I hate all those rules. And you leave God because you never understood that your obedience should be tied into your love for God. I believe those that follow a legalistic idea, those that would be Pharisaical, those that think, that try to brag about all the rules that they follow. And it's kind of a source of pride for them. But again, eventually, you're going to get tired of following the rules. Then there's the group that's indifferent. They obey the rules and the ones they like. They look at the Word of God and they're like, you know, going to church, I like that. I don't mind that. That's pretty good. But you know, some of these others, some do and it works for them, but I don't know that I necessarily do. And they're kind of indifferent to it. And then there's the liberty group that think basically every rule is a suggestion. I don't have to follow any of them. And I'm simply saying that today, if you're in any of those four categories, if you're simply following the rules because you have to follow the rules, if you're following the rules out of pride and you're wanting to live off of that, if you want your liberty and you think basically everything in the Word of God is a suggestion, you can pick and choose what you want to do, or you're indifferent to any of the commands of God, I would suggest to you that your relationship with God is where the heart of the problem is. And here is the problem. You don't have one. But I believe as we study these verses, we can understand an actual fruitful relationship. Here's what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Yesterday morning, for our Easter service, I did something a little bit different. We kind of bumped everything up. We started at 9, and then we had an extended morning service. And we probably, I was telling my wife, I was going back figuring it up, we probably went through, I don't know, I would easily say we went through 160 to 200 verses in the time period. We sang some songs, and we went through the crucifixion and the resurrection. It was actually a blessing. We had some visitors there that were lost. I preached a little bit, believe it or not, a little bit. That really is true. I'd say I only preached for about maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Yes, I really did, okay? Man, what is your problem? But as we went through those scriptures and we saw what Jesus went through for us, I came to the end of that again and I said to him, we get it all wrong. We so often say, you hear the world say, how can a loving God send people to hell? And I say, how can anybody reject a God who gave us that much love? And this morning, the heart of what I'm trying to get to, and I got to get to the message, but the heart of what I'm trying to get to and trying to help you understand is this. Teenagers, it is not going to be enough for you to just obey the rules. And I'm asking you to consider, is maybe one of your problems that you don't know what it really means to love God? Is it possible that the reason you struggle for victory in your life and conquering sin, is it possible that it's because you do not love God enough? I think in each of these verses we find, and in the context around them, we find some different ideas concerning love. In John 14 and verse 15, I believe we see here an active love. You notice he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. By the way, when he speaks of love, in each of the verses that I looked at, it is that word agapao as the verb aspect of it. It's the agape love. It is a love that shows action. It's not the phileo kind of love that is a little bit more of an emotional type of thing. But he's always, and every time, he's saying, if you love me. In other words, if you love me in a way that shows action. He lays down a premise and he says, if ye love me, and then he says, here's what you will do. Keep my commandments. You cannot come and say, listen, Pastor Parrish, it's okay. I love God. I know you may not think so just because I'm not, obeying the Word of God in this area or in this area or in this area, but I really do love God. Well, not according to God. I didn't make this up. He did. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, prove it. He didn't say, if you love me, sing to me. He didn't say that. Now, I think if we love God and we have a heart for God, I think we'll have a song in our heart. But he didn't say, if you love me, sing to me. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That word keep is this idea of guarding and obeying. And of course, his commandments, those are the things that he tells us to do and the things that he tells us not to do. But then he goes on. Look again in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And he comes to verse 16 and he says, and if you love me, keep my commandments. And kind of tying back into that verse, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. That word comforter is the parakletos. It is the idea. It's used for comforter. It's used for advocate. And it's the idea of somebody who comes alongside you to help you. So do you understand what God is saying here? Let's see. I started to say John. There's two of you. That's very confusing. Mushel, come here. All right. So here's what God is saying. God is looking at John. And that's just weird for me to say, if you love me. All right, I'm not going to look at him. There's just something not right about that in this day and age. All right. But God is saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then here's what he says. And I'll pray the Father, and he will send a comforter. In other words, John, if you love me, you're going to obey and do what I say. Now, I know that sounds hard, because there's some things in that book that are hard to do. But that's why when I go up to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of God. And he is going to come alongside you, and he's going to be there to help you. You know what God's saying? God's saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. But here's what I want you to understand. I'm going to help you do that. You have a seat. I'm going to be there. I'm going to strengthen you. And he goes on and he says that he may abide with you, look at verse 16, forever. That help is not going to run out. He goes on to help us understand a little more about the Holy Spirit he's sending. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He said, I'm going to send the Spirit to help you obey, but I'm also going to send the Spirit to teach you the truth so that you can discern and know how to obey. You ever come to the Word of God, or you come to something in your life and you're saying, listen, I really want to obey God, but I don't know what to do. Listen to me, teenager, college student. God is there to teach you. He's there to help you. He's there to strengthen you. He's there to encourage you. It could be the problem is you're so busy trying to live a legalistic form of obedience. You're trying to do it all on your own and follow the rules when you need to step back and just say, Lord, I love you. I choose to love you. And now I need your help to know what I should do and what I should not do. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, giveth to all men liberally. Not whatever. Every word is important. So go back and find out what it is. I just didn't remember. But God says he'll give us the wisdom, and he'll give us the strength. And he comes down to verse 18, and he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know what the Greek word is for comfortless right there? Orphanos. That's where we get our word orphan. You know what God was saying? God's saying, I won't leave you alone. I'm there to help you. I'm there to strengthen you. I'm there to enable you to obey. If you love me, keep my commandments and know that I'm sending the Holy Spirit of God into your life, and he will help you and he will strengthen you. And if all others forsake you because you are obeying God, know that I have not left you comfortless. I have not left you parentless. You are not an orphan. I'm there for you. That should excite you. That should thrill you. So it's an act of love. If you love me, keep my commandments. Secondly, I see an approved love. I see an approved love. Verse 21. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will will manifest myself to him. Notice here he points out a possession. He says, he that hath my commandments. A couple weeks ago, we did a teen conference with on missions with a man who was the former pastor in our church. He's working with missions out of our church. He has a huge burden to what they call unreached peoples. It's not specific countries, but people within countries and specific groups. And he especially has a burden for Muslims. We were going through and we were doing some research as we were going through that. And you know, as best... You never know until you're in there, but as best as we can understand, one group, and it's a long story, but we kind of came to the end of a group that he was going to go do a research project on and figure out how they could go in to help, were the Yemeni people of Yemen. Right now, there's a civil war that's been going on for 6 years in Yemen between the Shia Muslims and the Sunni Muslims, and they're fighting back and forth against each other. I forget what it was, something like 12 million people, but as best we can tell, the people who were studying it out, and they go in and they do as much study as they can, but as best they could tell, zero Christians in that whole group. And it was fun to watch some teenagers get burdened about people who did not have the Word of God. That was exciting. I had a lot of fun. But at the end of it, I got up in front of those teenagers and I said, now you're burdened about those people who do not have the Word of God. What are you doing to reach your neighbor? And what are you doing with the Bible yourself? I believe we should get a burden for other people, but I'm simply saying, in the United States of America, he that hath my commandments is you. You have the Bible. You have no excuse. You get so much Bible that at times you get bored with it. We get so much Bible that sometimes we fall asleep with it. And yet, God has worked so hard, and I believe we're even going to hear some of it this week, to preserve it. We see some of these things around here, and they teach us God has gone so far to make sure you've got them. But you notice, he did not say, he that hath my commandments, I will abide with him. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He's the one who loves me. So you can say, God, I love you. I memorize scripture. I go to a Christian school. I go to a Bible college, and I learn the Bible, and I know the Bible. God, I love you. Look how much Bible I know. God did not say that that is what qualifies as you loving him. God said it's not just having his commandments. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. As you begin to go through it, you start to see that as God was teaching his disciples, by the way, these were his last words to his disciples on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Chapter 14, verse 31, he says, let us go hence. They're on their way. They've just finished the Last Supper. And God knew if there was anything that is going to keep these disciples as I head to the cross, it must be that they love me. And it must be that they keep what I have commanded them. And God knows that if you're going to make it, it's not just knowing his commandments. It is keeping them because you love him. He that keepeth my commandments, hath my commandments, keep them, he it is that loveth me. And notice he promised in verse 19. He says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Who? The people that love me, that have my commandments to keep them. Because I live, ye shall live also. And that at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. And notice this, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. You say, I thought that God loved the world. He did, but it's only the saved that get to call him Father. And he comes and he loves you as a father. And he says, I will bestow my love upon you. You say, but God loves everybody. Sure they do. And let me tell you something. I love all of my kids. But the ones that are obeying me, I really love a lot more at that moment. And the ones that are disobeying me break my heart. And they crush me as a parent. And yes, God loves you. And yes, he loves you as a father. But he loves to shower his love on those who are showing him the love back. And those who don't and disobey him, those are the ones that he's going to punish. And those are the ones who are breaking his heart. And he said, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. It was estimated there were 1.5 million people in the children of Israel as they were there in the wilderness. Moses had gone into the mountain, and God says, you got to come back down. They have started worshiping an idol, and they're doing all these things, and Moses deals with all of it. And God says, I've had enough. Get back. I'm going to zap them. That's in the Hebrew somewhere. And Moses said, no, God, you can't do that. If you're going to do that, blot me out of the name of my name out of the book which you've written, but don't do it. And in chapter 33, in the first few verses, he said, okay, that's fine. I'll let you go into Canaan, and I will send an angel. And they began to cry out and weep. And Moses went before God, and he begged God, and he said, God, we don't want an angel. We want your presence. And Moses said, God, let me, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. There were 1.5 million people there, but only Moses got to get there and see the backside of the glory of God. Why? Because Moses, out of 1.5 million people, was the one who was still obeying God and was saying, God, I love you, and God, I want to be near you. There's the difference. Third, there's an accepting love. Verse 23, Judas actually asks him a question in verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Again, his premise is, if he will love me, and now notice he says, if he will keep my words. He's gone from, he said, if you will keep my commandments. Then he said, if you have my commandments and keep them. Now he takes another step, and he says, if you'll keep my words. When I was a kid, my parents' commandments were very important to me, most of the time. But every time that my parents' commandments were important to me, it had nothing to do initially with my love. It had to do with a certain fear of a certain board that God, that my dad kept, the board of education, and he liked to apply to the seat of learning. And I often had a great fear for that punishment that my dad was going to enact upon me and to write my going the wrong direction. And so I began to understand and appreciate the commands that my dad gave me. I began to love my dad's commands. But I'll tell you something. As I got older, and my relationship with my dad got better, I loved more than my dad's commands. I liked talking to him. I liked hearing what he had to say. And you know, there are a lot of commands in this Bible. A lot of things that we are to do, and a lot of things that we are to not do. But beyond just commands, do you know there is all kinds of encouragement and strength and peace and words of love and instruction and help, all to be found right here in the Word of God. And he said, if you love me, you'll not just keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, you'll not just know my commandments, but you'll keep them. And he said, and if you love me, you'll love all my words. Everything I have to say to you, you will love them and you will keep those. He goes beyond. And he promises them his presence. And he says, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I'm running out of time, so I'll simply tell you in verses 24 through 26, he then mentions that the comfort of the Holy Spirit will come along and teach you and bring all things to your remembrance. So he promises to be with you. He promises that you'll be taught by the Spirit. And then verses 27 through 31, he promises his peace and he promises his strength to help you actually be able to do all of these things. Then in verse number 10 of chapter 15, I find what I call an abiding love. Now he stops just saying, if you love me. And he goes and he says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You say, what does it mean to abide in his love? Well, again, I can't take time to go through every verse, but if you go back in verses 1 through 9, specifically verses 1 through 6 to begin with, you'll find that he talks about the vine and the branches. Now, something very important to understand about the vine and the branches. The branches can do nothing without being attached to the vine. And most of the time, if you were to come to a vine, you don't sit there and go, okay, that's the vine, that's the branch. It's kind of hard to tell where one stops and the other one starts. Why? Because they're all together. That's why he says, I am in the Father and he in me. And even as we abide together, I'm paraphrasing, that's the way that you and I are to abide together. The whole point is this. It ought to come to a point when people look at you and they see you and they say, I can't tell where Archie Parrish stops and Jesus starts. It ought to be the point where it's all together and we're abiding together. But also beyond that, the branch depends completely on the vine. So when he says that we abide in his love, he means that we abide in the ability to get his strength and his nurture and his nourishment and his help. All of it is wrapped up in what God wants to give to us. It's being completely dependent upon Christ. Verse 7, he talks about my words abiding in you. So abiding in his love also means to let the word of God dwell inside us. That means to have a home there. It doesn't mean that it's an occasional visitor. Okay? Right now I'm visiting at the Brock's house all week long. They're stuck with me and my munchkins, all right? And I am visiting them and they are going to rejoice on Saturday when I leave because I am not abiding there. And they can have their house back. But I'm going to leave my kids with them. No, just kidding. And the point is this, God doesn't want his words to be a visitor in your life. God wants his words to abide in you. And then he said that we dwell in his love. And that idea of love, when I dwell in the love of my Father, it is his favor and it is his fellowship. Lastly, verse 14. It's also an affectionate love. He says, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Notice, he's gone now beyond. He started, keep my commandments. He said, it's not enough to just know my commandments. You must keep them. He now then says, you must abide in my words. And then he says, if you're going to keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. And now what does he say? Whatsoever I command you. You know what he's saying? You're going to be my friend if there are no limitations on your obedience. None. You say, but what if God asked me? You don't get to ask what if when you love God and he's your friend. If ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever, say it with me, whatsoever I command you. That's what it's wrapped in. That's the only limitation you place on God. God, whatever you want. That's it. And he said, if you go beyond that, you become my friend. And look at what he says in verse 15. Henceforth, remember context, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You go beyond mere servants, and now you begin to understand the supernatural. So let me draw it all in for you real fast, because I'm supposed to be done right now. Listen to me carefully. Sometimes wonder why your teachers or your pastors, you sometimes wonder why does it seem like it is so easy for them to love God and to serve God? And why does it seem like for me as a teenager, as a college student, why does it seem it's so hard for me? And I would say it's because of this. Long time ago, Lord, I love you. I'm going to keep your commandments. And God said, no, I don't. I'm glad you feel that way, but it's not just knowing my commandments. It's having my commandments and keeping them. God, I've got it. I've got your word. I'm going to be in it all the time. I'm going to get as many of your commands as I can find, and I'm going to keep them. Well, okay, but forgot my next point. Then I want you to keep my words beyond the commandments. And they said, okay, God, now I'm beyond just obeying your commandments and love your commandments. God, I love all your word. It's great. And he says, okay, now I want you to abide in my love and let my words abide in you and let them just become dwell richly. And then you come along over here and you say, you know what? God and I are friends. Now, teens, this is where the rubber meets the road. When God and you become friends, look around. The rest of these guys don't matter unless they're on track with you serving God. You guys hear me? It's good to have friends. What a blessing. Looking forward to fellowship this week. But when you become friends with God, that's all that matters. And that's how Abraham left everything behind him. He went and sought a country that he knew not, because its maker and its foundations were built by God. If you love me, keep my commandments. That is the relationship of obedience. My question to you this morning is, do you chafe at the idea of obeying God? Then maybe you have a love problem. But when you do that, you need to understand that you're denying God's power to help you, and you're denying the fellowship that's wonderful with God. Love is a choice. Love is action. So my question to you is, have you chosen God? And by choosing him, have you chosen to do whatever he commands you? All stand, their heads are bowed, and their eyes are closed. Really is a simple message. It was fun for me to study it out. But it all really boils down to, have you chosen to love God? And have you chosen to obey? I'll have a word of prayer. Piano will play. God dealt with your heart. It's time to show your love by doing something about what you've heard. Father, thank you for your word.